what's happening on the environmental side?
So we're focusing on how to reclaim the land that we have disturbed, of course. And our focus is on three types of land reclamation. First is sort of dry land reclamation. How do we create a forest, you know, whether it's lowlands or uplands? The second is wetlands. And of course, we've done lots of work around generating a fen. And then there's the creation of a lake. And our body of work is focused on how do we create the conditions where these three types of landscapes can become self-sustaining into the future.
Well, let's look at the lake first. What's it called?
It's called Basemine Lake, and it is a full-scale pilot project that we have on the go right now. And it's exploring capping tailings with water. So the lake has been in place for a number of years now. I believe it's 3 years. And we're essentially monitoring the lake to see how it is essentially coming to life and how the natural processes are starting to take hold in the lake.
And this lake is really your way of reclaiming the big hole that was put in the ground from mining?
That's essentially it, yes. So we placed fluid fine tails in this hole, and then we capped the fluid fine tails with fresh water. And now that fresh water is slowly turning into a viable aquatic ecosystem.
So you've been working at the lake for about 3 years now. What's the latest research showing you?
Our latest focus has been on the turbidity of the lake. It's important that you have clear water so that the light can penetrate the lake and, you know, the aquatic ecosystem can start to develop. So fluid fine tails, of course, leaves residual cloudiness in the lake. And we've been looking at ways to adaptively manage that and reduce that turbidity. We identified a chemical called alum, which is used in water treatment and used to manage algae blooms in lakes, for example, as a chemical that we could use to help us flocculate the fine clays that we have in the lake and then allow them to settle faster. So we deployed this technology last summer, essentially like a crop duster, but a boat. We spread the alum throughout the entire lake, and the alum then reacted with the clays in the lake, and it cleared very, very quickly, in fact. And that clarity in the lake has actually been maintained through some seasonal cycles. So we're confident that this is technology that is going to support the return of the lake to a viable aquatic ecosystem.
What kinds of plants and animals are in the lake at this point?
So at this point in the littoral zone, so this is the edge of the lake, you're starting to see grasses growing up. Of course, I've been out on the lake a few times, and in the boat there's certainly plenty of mosquitoes and other flying insects that you typically find in northern Alberta. And then if you look in the water, there's lots of smaller larvae and other insects that you would find in lakes. I'm not an entomologist, so I just know that they're there, and it's starting to become a living lake.
When do you expect to see fish in there?
I think, you know, when we have proven that this lake is viable and it is reclaimed is when we'll start to see the fish in the lake. At this point in time, it is a pilot project and it is a closed lake. There's no flow in or flow out of the lake. And we're monitoring how the ecosystem is developing and we'll determine when to introduce fish at a later date.
What about waterfowl and sandpipers and that sort of thing? Are they already visiting the water?
There's lots of interest from the waterfowl on this lake. We're still managing to keep birds off of the lake as it evolves into a viable ecosystem. Right now, we're very much focused on the water in the lake. And when we're 100% confident that this water is safe for all waterfowl and fish, then we will allow, you know, the next phase of the aquatic ecosystem to take hold. But at this point in time, we're not allowing any birds or fish in the lake.
How do you keep the birds away?
Well, we have our bird deterrent systems that are quite effective. We certainly have a number of, scarecrows and cannons that we use to make loud noises to keep birds off. We have robotic falcons that keep the birds off. They don't fly around. They're just sort of mounted similar to a scarecrow. And we also have a team that is dedicated to ensuring that waterfowl and any fowl stay off of our bodies of water. And we certainly have some interesting technology that we use to do that.
I'm always fascinated by what's happening in your artificial fen and how that's coming along. Last year, you had already noticed that peat is starting to form. Mm-hmm. What's new this year?
So I've been out to the fen once this year. I was out there this summer. And certainly you get a sense that everything is starting to take hold. You know, there's more grasses, there's more bugs, there's birds flying around in the fen as well. I experienced a bear when I was in there last time as well. So it feels like ecology is taking a foothold in the fen. And I can say, you know, if we were to look at the moss again, we would see another millimeter of moss or the peat that we discovered last year. And that really is the indicator of whether the fen is developing as it should or not.
How many research projects did you have out there this year?
Yeah, and actually when I was out there, we have a couple sort of days where everybody gets together. So we have the professors from the universities, their students, our researchers, they're learning, talking about all the different projects together. So when I was there, there was probably about 25 people, all sort of master's, PhD students and professors and our scientists discussing the progress of the fen and what's next.
The idea that you have moss growing there already, because it's only a matter of a handful of years that you've been working on the fen, what does that really mean?
Well, it's a very significant finding, because essentially it means that the fen is doing what it's supposed to do, and we're attracting the right kind of vegetation. So moss certainly takes a long time to grow, and it takes a long time to produce the peat underneath it. But we're very excited to see the development of this moss, and we're certainly watching it carefully.
So with all this reclamation, one of the things you're trying to do is also put back the forest. What is the plan there?
So when we reclaim dry lands, whether they're uplands or lowlands, we're looking at creating the environment where the boreal forest will grow, essentially. South Bison Hills is an area that we've reclaimed. We reclaimed it about 20 years ago. And I was actually on a hike there the other day, well, it was summer, and hiked in for about 15 minutes, stood in the middle of this forest, and I turned 360 degrees, and I could have been anywhere. I could have been in the boreal forest, you know, 1,000 kilometers away, and it would have felt the same. So the interesting part was we were only 10 kilometers from our upgrading facility and mine on reclaimed land, so it certainly, to me, felt like the boreal forest that you'd experience anywhere in northern Alberta.
So with the trees coming up, what is it that you're doing in order to get the forest, to encourage the forest to grow?
It's lots of work to understand the rate of growth, the conditions required for the right growth, such as the depth of the soil that's needed. We monitor the type of soil, the salinity, and of course, the type of vegetation that we have in there as well. So the trees, the bushes, the berries, the grasses, are they all native species? And are they growing the way they should within that environment? So we will monitor things through having sort of isolated plots where we'll make measurements of these plants and ensure that they are growing as intended.
So when you were out in the forest the other day, what kinds of trees were there?
We have actually all the trees that you would expect to find in a boreal forest. So aspens, various pine trees, various bushes, berries, raspberries, and wild strawberries as well. So these are some of the things that I experienced when I was out there.
I understand that you have quite a program of collecting seeds of native plants and then using those to help with the reforestation.
Yes, it's very important that we're actually seeding the land with the right kinds of grasses that are native to the area and that they're taking hold. Certainly there's been lots of grasses in the past that have been used that are not native to the area, and that is not what we're doing now. We want to make sure that we have a boreal forest that is a true boreal forest at the end of the day, that has all the native species that you would expect to find in northern Alberta. This is about returning the land to a suitable form, right? And suitable in northern Alberta is what you would expect to find in northern Alberta.
What do you see as being the future for St. Crude?
Well, if I look at the theme we had for our R&D seminar, it's called Preparing for the Future. And in fact, I'll add Preparing for the Future Now, which means what are we doing right now to ensure that we have developed the technologies that will allow us to continue to operate in the future, but also allow us to do it better. So reducing our environmental footprint, reducing energy intensity, reducing water intensity. And then also the focus on, so what happens when we're done mining, right? How do we reclaim the land? So ultimately, St. Crude's future includes what happens when we're done. And we need to ensure, and we're obligated to return the land to a suitable landform when we're done. So that is the future, right? We're going to continue to operate, and we want to do it as best as we possibly can with the least environmental impact. And when we're done, we want to make sure that we return the land to the way it was when we first got there.
Thank you very much, Mel.
Thank you.